Good evening, everyone. As always, hope everyone is healthy, hope everyone is doing well and is safe. Tonight, we're going to go back to the Seder HaTefillah. Last week, we learned about Az Yashir because it's part of the Avening, and it was also in Yana Dioma, Parshas B'Shalach, of course, where we find the story of Kriyas Yamsuf and the Shiras Hayam first appears. So last week, we went a little bit out of order. We jumped from Mizmer Lasoda, one song, to another song, to Az Yashir. And now we're going to go back to the tefillah after Mizmar Lasoda. We're going to go back to the order of davening. But before we do that, just wanted to share a brief thought about a very, very great tragedy to the Jewish people. Today, not one, not two, but three Torah giants passed away in a span of 24 hours. It's really scary, no other word, it's frightening, that we lost Reb David Soloveitchik Zatzal, of Beis Brisk, you know, of the great Soloveitchik dynasty, who managed to escape the Nazis with his father and a number of his siblings. His mother and other siblings were actually killed, Al Kiddush Hashem, by the Nazis. Reb Yitzchak Shiner, who was really an American-born Gadol. His parents came to America. He was born shortly after they arrived on these shores from Eastern Europe in the early part of the 20th century. Grew up in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, going to public school. Went to public school for elementary school, for high school. Growing up, he had no idea what a yeshiva was. And he became one of the big Rosh Yeshivas of the Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah in Eretz Yisrael. Really, an unbelievable Torah scholar and leader. And third, also, an individual who spent decades of his life in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, but not in a rabbinic role, but in a medical role, Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky, Zechusi Yagen Aleinu, one of the most remarkable and unique, I think, Torah scholars of our day. He was a descendant of great Hasidic rabbis. His father was a Hasidic rabbi. His grandfather was a Hasidic rabbi. His brothers are Hasidic rabbis. And he became a psychiatrist. He went to medical school. He also went to public school. It was an unbelievable story how he was cast in the Christmas play. And his mother went to go meet with the teacher. And the mother was very concerned. Not that he was in a Christmas play. She was concerned that, you know, her son is short. Was he standing near boys who were very tall that maybe would make him self-conscious? That's what his mother was concerned about. And when the teacher was like, "You don't mind, Mrs. Twersky, that he's in a Christmas play, being that you are observant Jews?" And she said, "Listen," his mother's response is a classic response, a very important response in parenting. She said, if what we're doing at home isn't enough to counteract against him being in a Christmas play, then we're not doing our job at home." That's what his mother said. And Rabbi Dr. Twersky really was a voice for those that were so often hidden in the Jewish world. I remember when I was in graduate school for social work, one of my classmates actually worked with Rabbi Dr. Twersky on a book called Shame Born in Silence, a book about spousal abuse in the Orthodox community. No one was talking about it in the mid-90s, but Rabbi Dr. Twersky wanted to raise this issue, and he wrote a book about it with one of my classmates. And he was really just a remarkable figure. He's a person that I quote often in Parsha Shiurim and Drushas, because he wrote many, many, many different important works. One of my books on the top 10 must read list is his book, Let Us Make Man. Rabbi Dr. Twersky, I think he wrote over 60 books, something along those lines. And he was commented that really he only wrote one book, Let Us Make Man. Every other book he wrote is a version of Let Us Make Man, which is about self-esteem in Judaism. I tell all my students, they must read Let Us Make Man. If you haven't read it yet, try and get your hands on it and read it. It's a really, really important book. You're never too old to have a healthy self-image, self-esteem. And halavai, we should all have that. And it's just, I was reeling from this today, really thinking about it a lot. And we're here to learn Torah together this evening, to learn about davening. You know, we can't begin our learning of Torah without recognizing that the light of Torah has been dimmed, not a little bit, today. I'd like to just start our discussion on tefillah, just of course with the thought from Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky. One of his books that he published was a book all about tefillah, not a commentary on tefillah, but life lessons from tefillah. And in the introduction to the Sefer, he points out that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that the world stands on three pillars: Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasadim. We know what Torah is, right? Learning Torah. We know what Gemilas Chasadim is, acts of love and kindness. What's Avoda? So Avoda, you know, could be temple service, the Avodas HaMikdash, the service of the Beis HaMikdash. But we know that we generally translate Avoda as davening, because the Gemara tells us, and quoted in the Rambam, Lahalacha, that tefillah is known as avodah shebelev, la'avdo b'chol levavchem, to serve God with all your heart. That is tefillah, zo tefillah. And so tefillah is avodah shebelev. So when the Mishnah tells us Torah, avodah, gemilas chasadim, we know that it's talking about davening. So Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, what's pshat? In the introduction to his book on prayer, he says, what does it mean that we refer to it as avodah, that we refer to it as work? And he said that he thinks what often happens when it comes to prayer is that it really doesn't get the proper focus and concentration that it should have. It gets one of the three pillars the world exists because of. The world stands on davening, on our tefillah, right? Torah, he writes, people learn Torah day and night. You have yeshivas to take in opportunities for learning Torah that are unbelievable. Right now, through Zoom, through this crazy pandemic, this machala, this illness that should be removed hopefully soon from this world, it's opened us up to amazing learning opportunities. You know, look how we're learning Torah tonight. It's so unique, so strange. But Torah, it's unbelievable, Rabbi Dr. Twersky writes. People learning, steiging away in our world. Chesed, he says, the amount of chesed that takes place in the Jewish world today also is astounding. Is astounding. Ashreinu matov chelkenu, that we're rachmanim b'nei rachmanim. The Jewish people were merciful, children of merciful. It's the legacy, it's the spiritual identity of a Jew as the descendants of Avram and Sarah, is that we're gomli chesed, that we do acts of love and kindness. But Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, what about davening? We all daven, but do we work at davening? If davening is avoda, if davening is supposed to be avoda, some work, toiling, an eved, a slave, a servant, that you just work at it, he says, do we really work at davening? He says, whether you're davening in a minyan, whether you're davening at home, do we work at davening? And he says that one of the reasons he's writing this book is just to reveal to people the depth of prayer, the importance of tefillah as guidelines for our life. He says, but to really get this, you have to work at davening. You have to work at davening, that it's an avoda. It's really something. And that's what this book is about. And so tonight, as we begin our next year, our shiur in making davening meaningful, I apologize. You know, I try to keep this shiur relatively short. It's already been, almost 10 minutes. I apologize for that by way of introduction, hakdama. But again, just that we should all be aware of what's taking place in the Torah world. You know, another time I'll speak with more harchava, with greater depth about Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky. Also another time we'll have to discuss, you know, I mentioned that after our early minyan this morning, just after hearing about the death of Rabbi Soloveitchik, before I heard about the passing of Rabbi Shine or Rabbi Dr. Twersky, that during this pandemic, the amount of Torah leaders that we've lost is just been astounding. I have a rabbinic colleague who's also a bit of a Jewish historian. He says he doesn't think there's ever been a time like this in Jewish history in the span of 10 months, aside from, you know, like a Holocaust, when the Jewish people were being actively persecuted and destroyed, that we've lost so many Torah leaders in such a short span. It's really, really frightening. Close and far, whether it's Rabbi Sirotkin, who was the Rosh Hashiva of the Yeshiva of Springfield, Rabbi Yehuda Kalmer Zatzal from Wes Hempstead, someone from Wes Hempstead tonight learning with us, whether it was Rabbi Adin Steinsaltz in Israel, whether it was Rabbi Soloveitchik in Israel, or the Rabbi Jonathan Sachs in England. It's like Rabbi Norman. It's mind-blowing. It's mind-blowing how Torah leadership has just been like wiped away. And I really, it's something I was struggling with today, shudder thinking about this, and it's something that we also have to talk about more b'harchava, you know, with greater expansiveness, but not for now, for another time. Let's get to Yehi Chavod, because Yehi Chavod demands real concentration. It's interesting. Yehi Chavod is not this part of davening, as you know, someone, one of my nieces was reached out to me that someone was listening to the shiur recorded from Maya Torah in Israel and wanted to know the, like, the source sheets that I send out to, for the shiur. Where can she get them? I told my niece, there's no source sheet. It's a sitter. I hope you all have a sitter in front of you, right? That's what you need as we learn this together. I hope everyone really has a sitter in front of them. And we're up to the prayer known as Yehi Chavod. Yehi Chavod is not a chapter in Tehillim. It's not a collection of set psukim from the Torah or from Divrei Hayamim, like the beginning of Hodu is from Divrei Hayamim. Az Yashir is, of course, a collection of verses from the Torah, but a single unit, right? A single unit is the beginning of Hodu. Az Yashir is a single unit. Yehi Chavod and the second half of Hodu are really, many say, the real psukei dezimra, just verses, collected verses from all over, of praise and of song to God. And in Yehi Chavod, again, all of these verses are taken from Tehillim, from different parts of Tehillim, really throughout the whole book of Tehillim. So it's not like saying, oh, it's from the beginning, it's from the end, it's from throughout Tehillim. There is also part of a verse from the Torah in it, that because there's one verse of Yehi Chavod that's actually just an amalgamation. It's a chulent of three different verses. Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch L'olam Vo'ed. There's no verse like that in all of Tanakh. There's no pasuk like that. It's in fact just, again, a chulent of taking bits from three different psukim. Hashem Yimloch L'olam Vo'ed, of course, is from Az Yashir, from the Torah. That's the only bit that's from the Torah. Everything else is all from Tehillim. And what's interesting is, what's the purpose of Yehi Chavod? Why do we have these psukim? We discussed why the second half of Hodu followed the beginning of Hodu. The beginning of Hodu was all about the development of the Jewish people, right? The songs that David HaMelech wrote to be sung when the daily offering was brought by the Aron, by the Ark of the Covenant in Jerusalem before the Beis HaMikdash was even built. And the second half of Hodu was really about a world, a Jew reaching out to Hashem from a place of distance, you know, from a world of destruction when we didn't have the Beis HaMikdash, when we don't have the Aron, when we don't have the Talmud, right? And that was the second half of Hodu. Psukim of reaching out to God from a place of distance, of pain, and the confidence that Hashem will respond. So what's interesting is Yehi Chavod, this collection of verses, also is part of a two-stepped process. The two steps are, in fact, the first is Yehi Chavod, and the second is Ashrei. We know Ashrei, we're going to talk about Ashrei, is one of the most famous chapters in all of Tehillim, Kuf Mem Hei, chapter 145. The Gemara says very great things about Ashrei. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about what the Gemara says about Ashrei. Maybe, I don't think next week, maybe in 2 weeks we'll get to Ashrei. But Yehi Chavod, what's the connection between Yehi Chavod and Ashrei? One comes before the other. So if you notice, Yehi Chavod is a collection of 18 verses, right? It's a collection of 18 verses. Some say the 18 verses of Yehi Chavod correspond to the 18 brachos in the Shmona Esrei, right? The 18 brachos of Shmona Esrei. But if you look at Yehi Chavod carefully, you'll find 21 mentions and allusions to God's name in Yehi Chavod. That's, you'll find in it a very, very, in, it's intensely packed with godliness, the prayer of Yehi Chavod. And Ashrei is 21 verses. So the Beis Yosef and Rav Yosef Karo, he points out, and something later Achronim talk about as well, the Levush, I mean one of the early Achronim, but after the Beis Yosef, the Levush talks about this, that the 21 mentions of Hashem's name in Yehi Chavod corresponds to the 21 verses of Ashrei. that Yihi Chavod is a preparation. It's the counterpart, if you will, to Ashrei. But what are they a counterpart about? What's the significance of the 21? So here, there's a beautiful, beautiful Torah from Rabbi Dr. Monk that one of the Sfarim Dam Tefillah that we've been using, and Rabbi Dr. Monk points out, he suggests that the number 21 isn't happenstance. The number 21, he says, in Jewish number mysticism has great significance, because what is 21 the gematria of? It's the numeric value of Aleph, Hey, and Yud, Hey. Eheyeh, the word Eheyeh, that I will be. But we know that the word Eheyeh, just when we say it, I will be, also has another connotation. Because when Moshe Rabbeinu is at the burning bush, what we read just a number of weeks ago, what we read just about a month ago, when Moshe Rabbeinu is by the burning bush, and he asks God, when I'm going to go to the Jewish people, I'm going to say, what's your name? What should I tell them? Hashem responds, Ekya Asher Ekya. I pronounced it that way, Ekya, rather than Eheyeh, when I'm just saying the word, because it's a little bit of a debate in Rishonim, but most assume that Ekya Asher Ekya is a name of God. It translated, it would mean, I will be what I will be. And you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Ekya, meaning I will be with the Jewish people in their current suffering, Asher Ekya, and I will be with them in all future suffering as well. Meaning, God reveals this aspect to Moshe Rabbeinu that I'm always going to be with the Jewish people. That I've always got your back. I will never leave you alone. And Rabbi Dr. Monk suggests that that's really the two-part step of Yihi Chavod and then Ashrei. Yihi Chavod is the first Ekya, that I will be. Asher Ekya is the second half, that is Ashrei. And so when you look at it this way, that Yihi Chavod and Ashrei really are two parts of a whole, we really have to, if we're going to delve into Ashrei soon, then we really have to delve into Yihi Chavod. Also, we know that the Gemara in Chulin Daf Samach tells us that the Sar HaOlam, one of the chief angels of God, every day would sing out Yihi Chavod Hashem Lo'olam Yismach Hashem B'Ma'asav. This pasuk, that's what he would sing. That's what he would sing to Hashem and sing to the world. The Sar HaOlam, one of the most significant and powerful angels. So right away, Yihi Chavod is interesting, like a certain mystery to it. But also, some say just from a halachic perspective, why is it so important to have special concentration during Yihi Chavod? Because we're saying Hashem's name so much in this prayer. The density of God's name appearing in a prayer is almost unmatched in any other tefillah compared to Yihi Chavod. With so many times, Yihi Chavod Hashem, you just look at it, how many times Hashem's name appeared. It's really unbelievable. And we know that whenever we say Hashem's name, there's supposed to be the briefest, if you can, of meditations of what it means, the name of Yud Hey and Vav Hey, that we learned in Parsha and Parshas Va'era, from the teaching of the Chalban about the God's love and the manifestation of Hashem being readily apparent to all. So now, with this brief introduction to Yihi Chavod, I know we have double introduction, it's not fair. Now let's get to the tefillah itself. So let's get to the beginning of the tefillah itself. At least, let's get to a little. So Yihi Chavod Hashem Le'olam, Yismach Hashem B'Ma'asav. Yihi Chavod Hashem Le'olam. What does this mean? Yihi Chavod Hashem Le'olam. May God's honor be forever. What does that mean, may God's honor be forever? So many Mefarshim point out, in the beautiful Sefer Nafshi Cholas Avasecha, on tefillah, so he brings down Yihi Chavod Hashem Le'olam, just a pshat from the Sfarno, because this is a pasuk in Tehillim, this is Perek Kuf Dalet, beautiful, beautiful kapitel of Baruch Nafshi, of singing God's praises through nature. And the Sfarno writes, quoting from the Sfarno, Yihi Ratzon Sheyigala Kvodo V'Tov Tachliso B'Zeh. What Yihi Chavod Hashem Le'olam is, it's a prayer, it's a request that God's honor should be revealed in this world. It should be Yihi Chavod Hashem Le'olam, that God's honor should be revealed to the world. That we know that all too often, unfortunately, as we've discussed, God's presence is not revealed in this world. When there's a Chil Hashem, a desecration of God's name, when unfortunately there are tragedies that befall the Jewish people, tragedies befall anyone that really boggles the mind, young children getting ill, we talk about a diminution of God's honor in this world. Yichavod Hashem le'olam, that it's a big, the very first phrase here, again, one interpretation of it, but you understand why the Sar Ha'olam, why this angel, this one of the most powerful of angels, the Gemara in Chulin says, sings every day, Yichavod Hashem le'olam, Hashem, let your honor be revealed to the world. Let it be something that is evident, that is open for all to witness. And then what's the second half of this praise and this prayer? Yismach Hashem b'ma'asav. That God should be happy b'ma'asav, with his actions. What does that mean? God should be happy with his actions. Right? So the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the author of the Misal Sesharim, and men, that's his ethical work that, by the way, Rabbi Dr. Tursky loved the Misal Sesharim. He actually wrote a commentary on the Misal Sesharim, also one of his books that, I recommend almost all of his books. His cookbook I can't recommend because I never looked at it, although I'm sure there's a lot, he wrote a cookbook, I'm sure there's a lot of Torah in his cookbook as well. But he wrote a perish on the Misal Sesharim, so Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in one of his more Kabbalistic works, he was one great Kabbalist, so he, Yismach Hashem v'ma'asav, that we are the ma'asav of Hashem. We are the actions, we are the work of God. So Yismach Hashem v'ma'asav, that Hashem should be happy, he should rejoice v'ma'asav with his actions, with what he's done. He should rejoice with his children, with the Jewish people. Look at us and be happy with us. Right? Take nachas. And again, it's a tefillah not only to Hashem, it's also a tefillah to us. That we should act in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be happy to us. With us, excuse me. Yihi Shem Hashem Mivorach Me'ata V'ad Olam. What does this mean? May the name of Hashem be blessed from now and forever. So here, the Shlach HaKadosh brings down in his Perish on Tehillim, the idea that, again, the name of Hashem, Yishem Hashem Mevorach, we've spoken about this many, many times, so far in our Tefillah Shiurim and in many other Shiurim as well. A name is how something is represented in the world, right? I mean, you know, Chaim Marcus. Who's Chaim Marcus? What's Chaim Marcus? It's a combination of some letters, but Chaim Marcus is me. Am I Chaim Marcus? It's this term by which I'm known in the world. That's okay. This is my name. That's what a name is. It's how you're known in the world. So Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach Me'ata Ve'ad Olam. May the name of Hashem be blessed. Again, this idea Yehi Chavod Hashem Le'olam. Again, the theme is very similar of these two psukim. And again, this is why it's the beginning of Yehi Chavod, this first step towards Ashrei, the first step of Ekya, meaning that I am here, I am with you, right? So this idea, first demonstrating an understanding of Hashem. Don't forget, the whole introduction to Psukei Dezimra of Baruch Shamar, what was Baruch Shamar all about? Baruch Shamar was different meanings of the name of Yud Hei and Vav Hei of Hashem. So now when we come to Yichavod, which you could argue is the second beginning of Psukei Dezimra, because after Yichavod we go on a tear, just finishing up the final prakim, you know, 145, 146, 147, 148, 149, and 150 of Tehillim. We say six prakim to end off the book of Tehillim as Psukei Dezimra. So Yichavod, you could argue, is like the second beginning of Psukei Dezimra. So here we're going, trying to understand another name of Hashem, of Ekya, what Ekya means, of what it means, I will be. And Yichavod Hashem Le'olam Yismach Hashem B'ma'asav, the idea that Hashem's glory, His honor, should be brought into this world, should be revealed to the world. That Hashem should rejoice with His children. Hashem should rejoice with what we've done, what He's done. But that also means what we've done. That we should could bring Nachas Ruach to Hashem. That we, as we often talk about the idea that our role, and certainly this was the role that we know that Avram and Sarah had, of being Marbek Vod Shemayim Ba'olam, of increasing the honor of Hashem in this world. That's what we're davening for in the beginning of Yichavod. That's what the beginning of this tefillah is. So Yishem Hashem Mevorach Me'ata V'ad Olam. that Hashem's name, the manifestation, the revelation of God in this world should be blessed, meaning that we should understand, we should see the blessings of Hashem. That when Yichavar Hashem l'olam, when the honor of Hashem is brought into this world, then Yishem Hashem l'varach, then Hashem's name will be blessed because we'll be able to see it. It'll be clear to us what it is that Yichavar Hashem l'olam, that when we see the honor of Hashem, so Hashem's name should be blessed, that we should be able to see Hashem's goodness each and every day. Mi'atal di'ad olam, from now, va'ad olam, for forever. That this tefillah is a tefillah to Hashem, of course, but as Rabbi Dr. Tursky said, in davening we find guidelines to how to live life, that we should be able to bless the name of Hashem, mi'ata ve'ad olam. That we should be able to see the kindness of Hashem each and every day, mi'ata, from right now, did you bless Hashem's name today? What were the kindnesses of Hashem that you appreciated today? This is what we're talking about, mi'chavod, ekyeh. That I will be, the word, that I am, right? That I am here, and I will be. So, Yishem Hashem Mevarach Me'atav Yad Olam. Wow, I apologize, it's late. But, Mimizrach Shemesh Am Mevaro Mul Shem Adonai. That from the east, from the coming up, the rising of the sun, until it comes in, until it sets, Mehul Shem Hashem. That Hashem's name should be praised. You know, so we'll end with this, leave you a little homework, think about what this means. But obviously, there are many levels of interpretation. But we know that from the rising of the sun was one of the earliest idols that was being worshipped. Right? So when we say, that Hashem's name, again, Rabbi Schwab points out that in this part of the in Yichavod, every pasuk is connected to the pasuk before it. It's like, you know, the game game of telephone, that one leads to another. Like in the tefillah of Yichavod, every pasuk is connected to the next pasuk. You have to understand the connection. And he says it's connected because this represents the chains that were in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not going to get exactly into it, but Yichavod represents the chains connecting the avoda. So every pasuk is connected to the pasuk before it, and you have to be able to understand that. So mi'mizrach shemesh amuval mol shem Hashem. Again, we just said Hashem's name should be blessed. Mi'atav yad olam, from today for forever, that we should always, we should be able to see the hashkachas Hashem, Hashem's concern for us, Hashem's love for us, and Hashem's chesed that He pours upon us. So mi'mizrach shemesh amuval mol shem Hashem. From the rising of the sun in the east until it goes in at night, Mehul Hashem, Hashem's name should be praised. So Me'atav Yad Olam meant it through the centuries, through the decades of our life, through the years. Me'mizrach Shemesh Amvul means each and every day Mehul Hashem Hashem. Every day we should have reason to praise Hashem. But also Me'mizrach Shemesh Amvul, talking about when the coming up of the sun, again, the sun that was unfortunately an object of idol worship, of misunderstanding of how the world works. So that Mehul Al Shem Hashem, that dafka we should recognize that it's all from Hashem, that it's not, there's no other kohos in the world. And this is something also that Rabbi Dr. Monk points out in the Siddur, that the beginning of Yichavod is all about recognizing the sovereignty of Hashem. It's all about recognizing and praying that the sovereignty of God should be apparent to us in the macro and also in the micro, in the biggest ways and also in the smallest ways. So that's how we end. We'll end with Mizrach Shem Hashem Ulol Shem Hashem. Bez Hashem, continue with Yichavod, but again, remembering that Yihi Chavod is a tefillah that requires very close concentration. That the Sar Ha'olam, this one of the most significant of Malachim, of Hashem, spiritual messengers, this is what he sings. This is what he starts with. And that it is going to get us to be able to say Ashrei. They're really two parts. They're connected to one another. Okay, everyone, just learn well, daven well. And Be'ezus Hashem, the light of Torah was lessened in the world. Let's try make it brighter in this world. Okay, have a good night, everyone.